This is Jackson Peterson, and I'm a sales agronomist for CHS Ag Services in Humboldt, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Jamie Dickerman, along with Randy Conan in studio. President Trump's 25% across-the-board tariffs on Canada and Mexico went into effect on Tuesday and were paused yesterday for goods and services compliant with the U.S.-Canada-Mexico trade agreement. Reciprocal tariffs were scheduled to take effect April 2nd, but while speaking to reporters in the Oval Office this morning, President said some of those reciprocal tariffs may come much sooner.
Canada has been ripping us off for years on tariffs for lumber and for dairy products. 250%, nobody ever talks about that, 250% tariff, which is taking advantage of our farmers, so that's not going to happen anymore. They'll be met with the exact same tariff unless they drop it, and that's what reciprocal means. And we may do it as early as today, or we'll wait till Monday or Tuesday. But that's what we're going to do. We're going to charge the same thing. It's not fair. Never has been fair. And they've treated our farmers badly. Look, our country's been ripped off by everybody. That stops now.
There is yet another twist in the tariff talk coming out of the White House. President Trump saying this morning he is strongly considering large-scale sanctions and tariffs on Russia. This action will be done to pressure Russia to get a ceasefire and an end to the war with Ukraine. On Thursday, Trump pushed back tariffs on Canada and Mexico for another month.
Prime Minister Justin Trudeau and President Trump spoke last week about the North American trade war that Trump launched on Tuesday. The call was prompted by Trump's statement that he hopes to negotiate a meet-in-the-middle scenario for U.S. tariffs and Canada's counter-tariff actions. In address to Canadians, Trudeau said the tariffs are about more than drugs entering the United States.
I think in what President Trump said, that there is nothing Canada or Mexico can do to avoid these tariffs, underlines very clearly what I think a lot of us have suspected for a long time. These tariffs are not specifically about fentanyl, even though that is the legal justification he must use to actually move forward with these tariffs.
Mark Carney, who is expected to replace Trudeau as leader of Canada's Liberal Party, is a former governor of the Bank of Canada and former governor of the Bank of England. And Carney says that while these tariff actions will hurt both Canadians and Americans, Canada is better suited financially to weather an extended trade war.
Our economy is stronger than the American economy. We do have a better balance sheet than the United States, and we are going to be stronger than the American economy, particularly if the U.S. government continues to pursue these types of policies. We do have opportunities to build this economy. We are looking to expand our trading relationships.
Carney explaining the U.S. has a current debt to GDP ratio of 123%, which puts the U.S. on shaky financial footing. Comparatively, Canada's debt to GDP ratio is 42%.
Farmers in Paraguay and Brazil seeing a mix of weather conditions affecting the crops, that according to World Weather Incorporated. While some areas like western Mato Grosso and parts of Paraguay received light to moderate rain, much of the Brazil remained dry, allowing field work to continue. However, soil moisture is becoming a concern in areas like western Paraná and northeastern Brazil, where crops do need more rain. World Weather says rain is expected to increase next week, which will help immature summer crops and the safrida corn, but may also slow down farming activities. Northern Brazil will see regular showers, improving soil conditions, while central and southern areas may experience drier weather, increasing the need for more rainfall. In Argentina, hot, dry weather has been stressing crops in the north, while southern areas may have received heavy rain. Some locations in southwestern Buenos Aires saw over 10 inches of rain, which helped soil moisture but may have delayed field work. More rain is expected in the coming days, providing relief to dry areas while causing temporary farming delays.
With the recent warm weather, frost levels in the ground are changing a bit. According to NDON, most of eastern North Dakota and northwest Minnesota have frost depths between 20 to 30 inches. In west central Minnesota, frost is mostly 15 to 20 inches deep, but in some areas in Traverse County, over 30 inches. In central North Dakota, frost depths ranging from 25 to 30 inches, while some spots in northern Burley and Kidder counties reaching over 50. And meanwhile, parts of southwest North Dakota, including Hanninger, Bowman, and Mott, have little to no frost in the ground.
So a general consensus that corn planted acres will see a jump this year. Cobank's lead economist for grains and oilseed, Tanner Emke, says the rise could be significant.
where we're at right now, we're forecasting corn to be up a little over 4% from last year at 94.5 million. But if we continue the current trajectory on prices with corn versus these other commodities, especially cotton and grain sorghum, we could easily see corn planted acres go north of 95 million.
Emke says most of those acres likely coming from soy.
Obviously, there will be some shift out of soybeans. We anticipate soybean acreage to fall to about 84 million, down from a touch over 87 million last year. But corn is also going to be picking up acres from a lot of other crops that have not kept pace with the rally we've seen in corn prices over the last several weeks.
It's been a wild ride for the markets this week. Van On & Company COO Christy Van On Kieseth said today that in the grains, the markets are just trying to catch their breath.
It's just been such a roller coaster. Initially, you started the week off with tariffs being put on Mexico and Canada, and then the next day they were pushed back on automobile tariffs, and then the next day pushed back a month regardless. So I think the market just doesn't know exactly how to handle this. We have a month reprieve, we know that, but it would be nice to see demand start to pick up before people feel a little bit better about it. The U.S. dollar has drastically dropped here in the last month or so. And so when you look at prices in the U.S. dollar, we should be able to drum up some demand. Hopefully that's what we see. But right now, cautiously optimistic for corn and soybeans to finish the week off. Wheat a little bit lower. And honestly, I think people have just said, hey, there was enough excitement this week. Let's step away and let's get ready for the weekend.
Livestock market showing some spark today.
The live cattle doing a really good job finding the support level they needed here early in the week, at the end of last week and early into this. And since then, they've really been able to make a nice run. And so this is really nice to see, especially because it was able to happen with the Dow market, the stock market really struggling with the tariff talk. Same situation for hogs. I think hogs finding that support, because if you're going to get that reprieve on the tariffs, that's actually friendly for hogs. Mexico buys quite a bit of our hogs, so that would be a good thing. And I think they're pricing that in as well.
Industry officials raising concerns about South Dakota's new law removing eminent domain as an option for carbon pipeline projects. American Carbon Alliance CEO Tom Bias said the law unfairly targets carbon pipelines,
especially singling out basically just one type of pipeline. Only a carbon pipeline would be subject to these rules. No others would face the same results. And really, you know, the governor and the legislature talks about he's open for opportunity. Well, two of the biggest economic opportunities ever proposed for the state of South Dakota in their history are at risk based upon what they just did, what they just passed.
Bias compared South Dakota's approach to North Dakota, where leaders have embraced carbon capture as a way to support ethanol in farming. He stressed the need for new demand in agriculture, saying that carbon capture could play a key role in boosting the industry.
Every year our corn yields go up. Every year the efficiency at the ethanol plants goes up. But we've basically been running in place on the demand front. We need new demand in capturing carbon and creating a low-carbon feedstock like ethanol for sustainable aviation fuel or higher blends is absolutely a winner. And something we need, desperately need, is new demand.
Two bills dealing with the South Dakota Brand Board were rejected by the Senate Agriculture and Natural Resources Committee. One bill would have raised the maximum livestock inspection fee from $1 per head to $1.35. The other proposal would have moved the brand board from the Ag Department to the Office of School and Public Lands.
Planning and preparation are key elements for crop production. Channel Seed technical agronomist Jared Hausman said that work should be done now.
We need to make sure that our planters are right and our planters are prepared, and we've serviced them early in the season. And so when we get the field conditions correct, we can drive that planter right into the field without having any issues. I think that's a major piece that a lot of growers can have the opportunity to overlook, is not servicing their planter and being ready to go to the field when the field conditions are correct.
And much of the region is going into spring with relatively dry conditions.
I don't get majorly concerned over the weather currently. It's when we start actually getting planters in the field that I start getting concerned, because we have a lot of things that could pop up as far as insects or diseases that may really show their ugly head.
And Hausman said Channel has expanded its Seed Pro network to provide agronomic support to clients.
While it is early March, acreage decisions are still being made. Westbred Technical Product Manager Justin Berg said wheat purchasing has been slow at this point of the season.
A lot of indecision, yes, and that's consistent across much of the Northern Plains. Every retailer that we're working with, it's the same message. Yep, very, very much indecision right now.
Berg encouraging growers to sit down with their local retailers to lock in seed, fertilizer, and chemicals so they're ready to go when conditions are fit. Westbred varieties were among winners in the National Wheat Yield Contest.
Yeah, once again, WB 9590 shined, and it's been the number one, or it's won the most high yielding awards in this contest over the course of the last 8 years. I think it's won every single year it's been deployed, so that's been really fun to see. And once again, this year I think it was four of the winners were in the WB 9590. So that's you know, a consistent winner. We see some good some of our western spring wheats as well, where they get percent over county average with the high yielding varieties. So WB 9606, WB 9719 are also varieties that continue to shine year in and year out.
CNH Industrial confirming layoffs at its Case New Holland manufacturing plant in Fargo. The company cited current and anticipated market conditions for the job cuts. Employees were notified earlier this week, with about 198 hourly positions affected. CNH says it is dedicated to supporting the affected employees during their transition. Last May, about 700 members of Local 2525 of the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers approved a new labor contract with the company covering the workers in Fargo. That contract included raises and the retention of health retirement benefits. The plant manufactures tractors and loaders for the agriculture and construction industries. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Let's catch up with Ag Week editor Jenny Schlecht. Jenny, what do you have for us on the cover of Ag Week?
This week, Ariana Schumacher and I are reporting about a piece of Waters of the U.S., WOTUS, and the idea of what is a navigable water, what is a wetland, what is a puddle, have been volleyed around in various presidential administrations. But at least on this one piece, the idea of prior converted cropland, some senators are trying to clarify what it is in law. Senator Mike Rounds of South Dakota, along with other Republican senators from the region, including Senator John Hoeven, has sponsored legislation that would define prior converted cropland and keep prior converted cropland from losing its status after a short period of change in use. Prior converted cropland refers to land that maybe was formerly a wetland but was filled and had been farmed prior to December of 1985. Like a lot of regulations related to WOTUS, details like prior converted cropland have been handled through rulemaking and regulations through presidential administrations. And Rounds told Ariana there were concerns that something like a single flood that keeps land from being farmed for 1 year could be enough to make land not be considered prior converted cropland anymore. So the senators are just hoping that this legislation could possibly provide some certainty in this instance for farmers.
Sounds interesting, Jenny. Looking forward to reading about it in next week's Ag Week.
Looking at the futures quotes right now, we're looking at Minneapolis wheat May down 2.5 at 591.5. Chicago May down 2.25, 551.75. And Kansas City May down 2, 563.75. May corn is up 6.25, 470.25. December corn up 3.5, 454.5. May soybeans down a penny now, 1026.25. November is up 5.25 at 1026. April live cattle up 427 now, 257. We have the April feeders up 387, 278.30, and May up 435 at 278.20. Looking at the hogs now, April lean hogs up 57 at 87.22. Reporting Agriculture's Business, this is the Red River Farm Network.